This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Right then, welcome back to Five. Stephen Howson, I'm with Joel Bayer and Rio Ferdinand. Today we are joined by Fulham player Andreas Pereira.
Right. How you doing? Okay. Good to see you, man. Okay. Appreciate you coming down. Sit down, man. This guy bagged two goals at the weekend. The timing couldn't have been better for him to come in. Two goals. How you feeling? How you doing?
A bit tired.
Yeah? Well, listen, this is Andreas Pereira, man. Obviously, we all know about him in the Premier League. He's smashing it with Fulham, scoring goals. But I knew him when he was a young kid, came to Manchester United as a year. How old was you? 16? 16 years old. And joined the club. Huge talent, loads. We're the first team players and we're hearing this young kid's coming. He's meant to be really talented, really good. See him, he come and train with us a few times. Top technician, top player. And then I just want to find out how it went for you, man. Obviously, his career now, you can see he's having a fabulous career. But I think there's been tweaks, and we can get into this later, but you've tweaked your game a little bit. Because when people used to ask me, Andreas Pereira, is he, how good is he? I say, yeah, man, talent is crazy. Off the chains talent. But I don't know about the other side of the game, if he's going to want to run, if he's going to want to do the hard stuff. I don't know yet. But maturity, time, that's not a question now, not at all. So how have you got to that point, man?
It's been a long journey, you know. First of all, I want to thank for the invitation to be here today.
No problem.
Just got a little bit closer.
And, you know, it's been a long journey. Like you said, talent-wise and you know, skills and all this, I always comes easy for me. And to be hardworking, I remember always Warren Joyce in the reserves, you know, getting on my case, and I have to run and tackle and smash people. And I was like, what is this? Yeah. What am I doing here?
And you couldn't hide that. I could see I could see him, and I could see him thinking, but the way I play, I don't need to do all that shit. Like, I used to think that you would maybe think that as a young kid, no?
You're not getting away with that in Warren Joyce's team either, I don't think.
So till 16 years old, I was just like, play with the ball, you know, be happy, do your skills. And when I arrived at United, it was like, you have to smash people, you have to run them into the ground. I was like, what? I remember I called my dad and speak about football. I said, like, I think I did a mistake here. I think I have to go back to PSV and then I spoke with Warren Joyce, and he said, you know what, you have to practice every day, and then you get, it's a habit. And then we started, you know, smashing people. I remember with Paul and Adnan in training, and they used to tell me as well and help me a lot.
Mm. So Paul Pogba, Adnan Januzaj were in your team, innit?
Yeah. And then Jesse as well, so we had, you know, a very good team. And then, of course, when we go to the first team, I never forget my first session. Anderson came to me and said, you know, they're gonna kick you, don't say nothing, just stand up and try to kick them back. But I said, all right. And I remember the first tackle, Scholesy smashed.
It's always Scholesy.
Like, he smashed me. I just didn't say nothing, just stand up. And after that, I remember that Waza came over to me, and he said, you know, that I stand my ground, and it was good. And since that, it started to change a little bit in my head.
Just want to go back as well. So he's like, you're one of the most travelled young players as well. You obviously, your dad's Brazilian, was a former player. But you was in Holland, obviously, at PSV. That's where Manchester United got you from. But the loans, you had so many. So you was obviously with Warren Joyce training there, which he hardens a lot of young players. Any young players we speak to around that generation, they talk about him like in like top top coach, because he helped them become men. But you obviously had to go through many loans. Like, how important is the loan kind of market for someone like yourself?
For me, it was very important. You know, the first loan to Granada, it was, you know, I already played, I think, the first game at United, and I was like, I want to play first team football. And of course, it's difficult. You have Juan Mata in your position, Waza on your position, and, you know, the club always buying the best players in the world. So I need to play. And Granada gave me this opportunity, and it was very important for me to play. I played the whole season there. I played really well, and you learn a lot playing football, you know, real men football, and playing against Real Madrid, Barcelona, Atletico Madrid. It's where you want to be, you know, you want to play against these teams. And when I came back at United, you know, I felt totally different player. I felt much more ready to play, but still I was needing a little bit more experience, and that's when Valencia came in, and I went straight away. And it was like another step from Granada, a little bit higher. And we fight the whole season, you know, in the top four and fighting with the big teams. So that's where I kind of realized that I think now I'm ready to go and go back to United and do a good job at United.
Is that confidence important as well, to know that I'm competing with Champions League level teams here, playing well, playing regular? Does that help? Because is there a bit of an unknown factor when you're trying to get into United? Like, can I actually compete at this level?
Yeah, of course. You always look at the players that United are playing. They're the best players in the world, if you take on paper. And when I went and I played in Valencia, and we're playing in December, and we're second and Barcelona's first, and it's the biggest game in Spain. We're like, shit, you know, we can play. And you start to realize that you can play at a high level, and you get a lot of confidence. So I was feeling very confident, and I was unlucky to get an injury in the end of the season. But when I came back at United, it's different as well for the fans and for everyone in the training ground. They look at you different. They're like, ah, he played at Valencia. They did really good job, you know.
You get the respect of your teammates and coaches.
Exactly. Mm. So it's not like, ah, he's a young boy from the academy.
Mm. During this time, I'm guessing Manchester United and the coaches and stuff, they're monitoring what you're doing. Are you in
contact? That's a hell of an assumption.
I'm asking, are they keeping tabs on you? Are they calling you up? And how often? Because I don't know how it works, you know. So are they like keeping close eye on you because you're one of their prospects, right?
Yeah, so they used to text me after like every game and say like, how is it going? How are you feeling? Do you need something out there? Is everything okay? So they follow really closely what you were doing, and with me, you know, they were very good. Some big games they came and sent someone to watch. And but it was always the big games, you know. And no, but it's always good to have someone asking. And at the time as well, when it was the manager there, it would be the manager that would say, how is it going and stuff like that. So it was always good to have that, you know, the comment and see that they're following you. It's not like they loan you out and they're like, you know, if he does well, great for us. If he doesn't do well, we sell him, or we don't know what we do, you know.
Any of your loans where it didn't go to plan and didn't work out?
I would say in Lazio, I didn't play as much as I wanted.
How'd you deal with that, and why? Why is that?
Because I arrived there and they promised me a lot, you know, like I wanted to play Champions League, and they were first time in Champions League, and I arrived there and they said to me that I would play and get a lot of game time. And when I arrived, I played my first game, I played well, we won, and I scored, and I just sit straight on the bench like five games in a row, and I was like, I'm doing something wrong here. But it's in Italy, totally different culture of football. I learned so much outside of the pitch there. It's
like what?
The first game I arrived there, I saw a player had a fight with a director in the dressing room, and I was like, I looked to Lucas Leiva because he was Brazilian, I was with him. And I say, is this normal? I say, this is just every day here. I was like, wow, this is another world, you know. You don't see this in England or at United. And it's just the way they are. They're very passionate. They don't mess about. It's very different culture there. And but it's nice. It's different. I learned a lot in Lazio. I would say more outside of the pitch, how to be a professional and deal with setbacks than really playing.
How are you dealing with that? You've always been, like as I said before, the talented one in your team's always playing. The player's got responsibility in a team. How do you then go to being somebody who's on the bench and the manager's not giving you the opportunity?
It's difficult, you know, but in the beginning, I always have someone to speak to, or I'll go to the, you know, the captain or someone I trust in the team and speak to. At this time, it was Pepe Reina was there.
Oh, yeah.
Lucas Leiva, he helped me a lot. So I would speak to him and say, you know, these guys are playing every game. I'm like, what do I have to do to play? I want to play. And they would say to me, Andreas, you have to train better. You have to do this better. You know, you have to be more tough. And that's what I was trying to do every single session. So I started to focus more on myself and forget about, you know, the close. I have to play next game. Maybe, you know, you're not going to play next game. I'm like, I want to play maybe in 10 games time. I'm going to give me this time to improve what I have to improve. So this actually worked for me, and it set a little bit the pressure off me. So I was like, I have to play. I have to do well to go back to United. Then it gets too much pressure and you start to fall. And that's where you like get a little bit like, I don't play here. I'm not going to play at United. And then it's a bad cycle, you know.
It is a crazy situation, these loans. I went on loan and mine went well, but I've seen so many players where it doesn't go and it almost their career sometimes. They don't recover.
What was yours, Bournemouth?
Bournemouth, my one, yeah. So it was like amazing. Like you say, off the pitch, you get to learn cleaning my own kit and stuff like that. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. I just want to take you back to United. Like obviously you had some great times there. What was it like playing in that team with like the Adnans, Jesse Lingards, Paul Pogba, yourself, like all talent, super talented squad?
It was good, you know, because...
Any nice stories for us?
we have a lot of stories. It was good to play because apart all of that, we are like close friends, you know. We used to play and joke around on the pitch, and it was in the reserve level. It was, you know, easy for us to play, and like you said, Warren,
it was a good team, that one.
Really, was you just like... Team, every game, it was like...
Every game, we would go like, yeah, we're going to win like 3-4-0.
Seriously?
Yeah. And it was always on the end of the game, we would outrun them. And, you know, we used to do one man-to-man all pitch with Joycey. And
in training.
Yeah.
They were fit. These boys were fit.
Really?
So the first teamers, do you remember this? If the first team player was injured or suspended, before they came back with the first team, they'd go and train with these guys. They're all super fit. I remember Anderson, funny man. He used to say before training, if you had to go and train with them, no, I'm not going to. No. Crazy. It's not football. It's athletics. And no. That's what we used to say all the time. Because their warm up, you'd be blowing, bro. Remember their warm up? We used to left foot, right foot, and run it, mate, hard. So they grafted. Like it's no coincidence that so many of these kids go on and be top players. That's with Joycey.
So you're playing with these top players. We've all heard the stories, but for me, I'm not a United fan. Were they really as good? Take someone like Paul Pogba, for instance. Was he really as good as we were hearing from the outside? Or is it just Manchester United hyping it up?
You know, Rio is here as well. You know, Paul is it's not because he's my friend, but he's an amazing player. When I first arrived at the club, he was the first one really to speak with me and help me. And on the training pitch, I was just like, I have to get to this level. This is crazy, man. I was like, he's unbelievable. He was easy, the best player I've played with, like by far, I would say, from the academy players, you know. He was like powerful, skillful, fast, he could score. And, you know, and we were not shocked when you go to the first team, we see that the first team players and they're like speaking and we're like, yeah, he arrived, you know, and he's going to play because he's good, you know. Everyone knew it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So did you know, like I know you you used to keep your ear to the ground, but did you know he was that good, like what he said?
Yeah, they had all good talent in that team, but he was the one, the special one that everyone knew would play for the third. It was just a matter of like when, not if. When's he going to play? Just the timing. And obviously the club kind of probably got that wrong in giving him his opportunity too late. Or didn't give him the opportunity enough because he then went to Juventus. But there was no doubt, so when you see him play and train, some of the clips we'd see him in the youth team just taking the mick. Like, just ridiculous talent. But again it's you got to be at the club, at the right club at the right time. And it was his timing probably. For that period was right, but then when he left, it was the right time to go to Juventus because look what he'd done there. Do you know what I mean? So it was a shame, I thought, that he had to go. I remember when he was leaving, he come to me and... outside of our change room, and he was like emotional almost, like, and he was like, I think at that point he'd made the decision and the agreement, but in the end he was like, actually I'm not sure, and it was like, well you can't do nothing now, you made the agreement, remember?
Yeah, I remember.
And then in the end he kind of, I've got to go now, But I think he was a bit reluctant at that time. He was like, have I made the right decision? I think all decisions, you can maybe say, every time you go somewhere, I was never 100% it's the right move. You're always a little bit, sure, innit?
And especially, leaving United. Yeah. It's like, you're like, I'm really going to leave United? I'm like, are we really going to do this? Like, we sure? And then you're like you say, you're like, you're not never 100% sure, mm-hmm. really. Sometimes you're like, no, let's stay and have another go. And then you're like, no, you have to go. And then you just have to leave, yeah.
Because you got to a point where you probably wasn't as happy as you wanted to be. Because if you're not playing first team at like your parent club, Man United, you must be unhappy at that time. Then you make a decision, you're going to go to Flamengo. Like, big decision in your life, that, huh?
Yeah, big decision.
Your wife was pregnant? Eight months pregnant? Wow.
I was, it was, to be fair, I wanted to play. After COVID, I wanted to play, and I going crazy. I was like, I want to play in the Premier League. I want to play. I want to show I'm good enough. I was very close to join Everton, and suddenly, my father called me and said, Andres, you never played in Brazil. You're Brazilian. I was like, yeah, but where do we go then? And the president of Flamengo jokingly called and with my dad and said, if he wants to come, he can come. And I was like, you know what? Let's go to Flamengo. And my dad said, from one day to the other, and everyone at United, no, you're crazy. You will stay in Brazil. You will never come back to Europe. Every one of my family, of course, they wanted me to come, but they were like, no, what are you doing?
Because everybody normally wants to get out of Brazil to come to Europe.
Exactly. And I was like, I want to play in Brazil. I want to feel loved. I didn't feel the love that I was, I thought I should get. So I was like, I want to feel loved by my own people. I want to get play close to my family. And I just want to enjoy football.
Mm. Was that your Brazilian club? Is that the club you support?
I used to support Santos, so and I did an interview 3 weeks before. I was I would play for free for Santos.
Oh, no.
And then I went to Flamengo.
Wow.
Yeah, and
but that went well.
You had the likes of David Luiz there with you. He's usually a big brother to other people, in club and country. How did he receive you there?
No, with me, it was amazing. We arrived together at the club, and it was... I know him from playing against at Chelsea, but, he's, like you said, he was like a big brother to me. He always helped me with everything, and we used to stay more in his house than in my own house after training. So, but he's a fantastic guy, and... But it was, a crazy move to
Flamengo. Just before we talk about that move and what happened there, but when you left, I see you said you didn't want to talk to the manager, you didn't want to be convinced to stay. Mm-hmm. Well, talk us through that.
This was when I came back to England, to Fulham, because Erik ten Hag worked in PSV when I was 16 years old. Before leaving United, the president, Erik ten Hag, and they came to speak with me and my dad, and they said, look, everything is set up for you here in PSV, stay here, you're gonna play in the first team.
Oh wow, sorry.
And I was like, with my dad, I just went to United, we spoke with Fergie, we're like, I'm going to United, I don't want to nothing, I just want to go. He said, okay, just have the meeting, just let them say what they want to say, and we'll go. So, that's why I didn't want to speak with Eric, because I knew him, and I was like, I know that at the time it was always a conversation like, Andreas, stay here, you're not going to play every game, you're going to play maybe one game in every three games, and you're going to be around in the squad, and that's not what I wanted, really. I wanted to play.
You just mentioned Sir Alex, I've got to go back to that. Look, what was it like meeting him as a young kid, 16 years old? Imagine 16 years old, going with your dad, to meet someone like Sir Alex Ferguson, who wants you to come to their club, and what kind of things?
Is that his last season as well?
No. I arrived in January, so when City won in last minute, and then he stayed, and then the year after,
when we drew, you mean?
Yeah.
just to set the scene for people watching, you played very well in a tournament, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's where Nike,
that's where he got scouted. Mm. So
in the United Cup.
Yeah, yeah.
So many players come through that. The Silver Twins come through that as
oh,
well.
Oh, really?
But yeah, loads of that. It's good, man.
Okay. Yeah. So and so then from then on, was it straight Fergie, or did they send someone, Sir Alex, or did they send someone else? Or
no, they sent first. They sent the scout is Jeff Watson. He was working, so he got in contact with my dad, and he said, you know, we're interested. And at the time, I had a few interests from another clubs in Europe, and I was like, but I was always a fan of United and Ronaldo. So I was like, I want to go to United. And when it happened, and it was fast, it was like we finished the tournament and they already started to speak with my dad, oh, you should come and visit the training ground, see how it is. And when I went to visit the training ground, they didn't even say you're going to meet Fergie or anyone. So I arrived, I remember walking in Carrington, and I was like, I want to come and I want to go, amazing complex. And then we saw, and then he said, oh, someone wants to meet you, and it was Fergie. I just remember just him standing in front. I was like, I cannot believe it. My dad, I see first time my dad was like standing, he didn't know what to do. And I just, and he told me, first he say something and I didn't understand it because his English is not really like, and then after that, he said, there's always a room for a Brazilian in my team. Mm-hmm. And that stayed with me in my head. I was like, I didn't even want to go back home. I wanted to stay there straight away.
Mm. Wow. It's nuts. Incredible. Do you know, like young players, obviously you go and work with Sir Alex Ferguson and you're there. You've obviously seen a lot of young players. Everyone's going, oh, he's going to be a great player. Then they fall off. What are the biggest problems for the young players coming through? And how do they, should they go around kind of staying clear of those?
I think it's mentally, you know. Mentally is a big problem, I think. When you make your first game, and the first game, everyone is positive, really. You can have a, you know, a good game or a okay game. Everyone will say you're doing well or amazing. I think after 15, 20 games in, it's when reality starts to kick in and everyone's like, he's not really that good, you know. Mm. I think he's shit, and people saying he's this and that. Mm. So that's where you have to keep strong, you know. Sometimes it's like you said, you're not in the right time in the right club. Some things cannot, you know, go well for you. It doesn't mean you're a shit player.
Mm.
So I've seen it, you know, with a lot of players at United, you know, big names that come and they don't really, really play good. So
you got any names like you who you're really surprised by, like you think, oh, I was expecting you to be amazing, but it just didn't work?
For me, yeah. For me, Di Maria, when he arrived from, you know, the first session he did, he was unbelievable.
Was he? Like, I heard that.
He arrived from the Champions League final, being the best player. Yeah. He did the first session and he was, everyone, in, seriously, everyone said, like, we're going to win the league.
Like, wow.
This guy is amazing. And you know, the Leicester goal, he did the dink.
Yeah.
When he did the dink and the heart after, we were like, oh, we're and then it was, I didn't know what happened, you know, it was crazy. He didn't adapt. Then the thing happened with his family. I think this has, you know, big thing to do. And you know, I saw like how this kind of player cannot play in United. So the pressure is there, you know, it's difficult to play for United, to wear the seven. It's difficult, yeah.
Talk about that pressure. I always say this.
Yeah, I was going to say, it always says to me.
Like, you've been at a lot of clubs.
Yeah.
So you would understand, like, the difference in levels of pressure. Mm-hmm. Like, where?
Yeah, that was the question I was going for. I was literally...
But what is that? Why is it different pressure at Man United? What's it boiled down to?
I think the pressure at United is... of course, it's one of the biggest clubs in the world. You have to win... Even now, such a long period, didn't win the Premier League. Everyone expect to win the Premier League. Everyone expect to challenge to win the Champions League. If you're playing it, you have to win it. So I think there is a pressure. And I think, you know, of course, the pressure is there because you guys set the standard so high. You know, you guys won Champions League, win all the trophies, win Premier League so many times and make it look easy. So I think there is the pressure, like we have to do at least the same or even better, and that's very, very difficult, you know.
It's mad that you see the big players like Di Maria, who everywhere he's been, brilliant.
Successful.
Only United, he hasn't been like the player we imagine.
Not on his own, though. There's a hell of a lot of Falcao, Sanchez.
Sanchez come from your club. He was brilliant, and it didn't work out.
I said, you go to a big club, sometimes it's just different.
Was you there with Lukaku?
Yeah, I was there with Lukaku.
Like even Lukaku, but he scored goals, Lukaku.
he started really well, yeah. And then after that he faded a little bit.
It was after the World Cup.
But it's difficult, you know.
So what would you say the difficulty is? Because, like I said, Rio always says to me, it's different. It's different playing for United. And sometimes I go, but hearing you, I believe you more than I believe you. Hearing you, what is it with these players? Falcao, you know, Lukaku, yes, he scored goals. It went a bit. What is it? Is it the press news? Is it internally? What makes this pressure? Is it a combination of everything?
I think it's a combination of everything. I think the press as well, you know, United is not fighting for the title, but they still speak more about United than everyone else. So that's the thing.
Let that get in your head. Repeat that again. They still speak about United more than anyone else.
Yeah. So I think that's a big factor, you know. United, I think, it is the biggest club in England. So we have to agree on that.
It's not you lot, is it? Let's have it real. You're not even the biggest club in London if Brentford wake up.
That's not true. That's not true. But go on, carry on.
But yeah, I think that's the difference, you know, and when you come to United, the club is massive. I've been lucky to be there from 16 years old, and I grew up and I've seen the club from inside, and I got used to it and learned how to live with it. So it's maybe a little bit different, but players that are playing somewhere else and come to United, I understand that it's difficult.
Were they, you see how you mentioned that his generation set the standard. Are they reminding you in training? Do they make references to that or references to individuals from that era? How do they make that comparison?
No, they don't really make comparisons, I think. I don't think you can make really comparisons to them because, you know, it's a different generation now. It's at the time, you know, they won everything. I think now the club is more rebuilding and to be ready to win maybe next year or in 2 years, you know.
You played for Sir Alex Ferguson when you signed there, and then Jose Mourinho comes. It's another great manager. How good was he for young players? Because obviously we hear about his success and we've seen the success, but he doesn't actually get a lot of credit for bringing through young players or details he gives young players. What was he like for you?
For me, it was amazing. You know, since I arrived first in the first session with him, I was a little bit nervous, you know, because everyone say Mourinho, he's very tough, and let's see how he's going to be with young players. And he always got it like, everyone know him because he buys a lot of players and he only plays with the players he wants. And I was like, I have to show that I can be his player. So the first day he met me and he said, the last manager that was here say that you don't listen, you don't work hard. So I was like, I'm done. And then I said to him, I looked at him, I didn't say nothing. And he said, but I want to see for my own eyes. And I said, okay. Then first week of training, I say to Antonio Valencia, I go to him, I say, I think I'm done. I think it's done. I have to see for another club. And he said, no, it's just work hard. And, you know, try to kick people in training. Just kick people, show that you're ready. Because everyone knows you can dribble and do this. Just kick people. I was like, all right. And, you know, starting smashing people in training. Yeah. Everyone like, what is he doing? and then it started. I started to play as a six. So, and then he said to me after 2 weeks, he said like, oh, that's good that I didn't believe the other coach because they couldn't handle you. So I can, you're my player now. And he gave me a lot of confidence. And I was like, all right, and then now I'm going to stand, now I'm going to show, you know.
So you was always an 8 or a 10 before.
8
and
or
then
10.
He puts you as a 6. What's your mindset then when he's playing you as a 6?
For me, I was like, no problem. I'm going to deal with it. I was watching videos of Scholesy, Carrick, everything. I was like, you know, I want to play for United. It doesn't matter, right back, left back. And And
see, that's a good attitude though, because some people go, "Nah, that's not my position." So no.
Yeah. You get a lot of parents, and it's lucky your dad was an ex-player, mm-hmm. so that might be the bonus and benefit that he had. Because some parents and players, young kids, it's a great lesson for a young kid to hear this, because they will go, "Yeah, but I'm a number 8. He's trying to make me a number 6. I need to find a new club. I'll talk to my agent. I need to get out because that's out of order." So I was a midfielder as a kid, and I went back to being a defender. I didn't want to be a defender. They said, "Your best chance to be a professional is to be a defender." So you go, "You know what? Thank you. I'll go with it." And you work hard. It's an unbelievable thing to have for a young kid.
I mean, especially if you want to play for Manchester United, I think there's no room for that arrogance anyway. So I think credit to you.
But it's there. There's a lot of kids that are like that. Trust me. Anywhere.
Everywhere, yeah. Two lessons then. So everyone's just distilling this thing that play wherever you're told to and boot people by the sounds of it. Yeah. Is the lessons.
Slash work hard.
Slash work hard, yeah.
So was you scared? Was there any truth in you not listening to the previous managers before we...
I think that's a Jose in mind. Yeah, he didn't speak to Louis, did he?
Or did he... Yeah,
maybe. He didn't even speak to, but it for sure it messed with my head. You know, I was like, no, I have to show him, you know. And that's what really I spent to speak with Valencia. And he said, just kick people, work hard and show, you know.
Tony played like that, didn't he? So. Yeah.
Antonio was a great guy, innit? Antonio. Yeah,
top guy.
Great
top
guy. Do you still speak to him?
Sometimes, yeah, Instagram. He sends me, you know, how are you doing? You're doing well.
And you see him training.
Yeah, he's still training still hard, man. Yeah.
Hey, crazy.
Oh, wow. So when Jose comes in, what does he bring that's different, you know? Like, you've obviously played under many managers.
What's he like on the pitch, on the training ground?
On the pitch, he's, you know, when he arrives at the club, you already straight away feel like he knows how to win. He just is about winning. It's not I want to play this style or this style. No, he just wants to win. So I really loved his mentality, because this is like...
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Affects the player, you know. So in the training, sometimes one team can play well and they start to joke about, and he was like, he didn't give a shit, he just wanted to win games. And this straight away got into the mentality of all the players, and we just wanted to win. Doesn't matter if we just sit back all game and we win 1-0 last minute, but we're winning. Because in 1 year time, no one remembers that game. We won the game. So for me, that was his mentality, that it was elite mentality, different, you know.
Mm. Good, that's what I mean. So then you move on to Ollie. Yeah.
Sorry, too fast. I hear a lot about his training sessions and how meticulous he is. Is he the one setting it up? Is it his team? Is it, you know, because he also had the assistant manager. He was with him for 18 years.
Ruud Fahria. Yeah.
Man, what was it like when he was there? What was it like when he left? Because I think there was a shift in Jose in that period. Did you see the difference?
Yeah, because he was his right hand. He was always with him, and he was always doing everything on the training. And he was like everything what Jose was like thinking, he was doing for him in the training. And after that, when he left, it was a little bit of a change. And he got a little bit more involved in the training sessions.
Who was supposed to be assistant after that? Was it Carrick?
He brought McKenna in, didn't he? McKenna was with Jose for a little bit.
Who's flying now at Ipswich.
Yeah.
So what was it? What was he like, Ollie, when he comes in? Ollie, obviously, Jose goes. Well, firstly, what's it like when a manager goes?
It's difficult because I was creating the relationship with Jose and the things were going... For me, as a personal level, it was going well. I was first time called up for Brazil. I was like, okay, I'm building something here, and then he's gone. Then you're like, what's going to happen now? New manager comes in, don't like, maybe young players don't like me. I have to see somewhere else. And so I was like, I have to start from zero again. then Ole came in and straight away he went to speak with me and he said, you know, just be calm, do your job. I like you as a player, and that put a lot of, you know, calm in, in everyone. I think not only me. He said this to everyone, so he brought like everyone very calm again and brought the team together. And I think we finished the season and like a strong, but it different type of coach than Jose.
Mm. What was his what was his way? Because he seemed quite a quiet. I played with him was quiet, but he still had a really stern way about him. If he wanted to say something quite hard, he could.
Yeah, so he was very calm, but when he wanted to let you know that he was angry or he has to do something else, he could be very angry, you know. So he was quite assertive in this type of way. But most of the times he was very calm and he would sit down with you and chat, look, you have to do this and this, but if you mess about in the games or stuff, like 2-3 times, he can maybe in the dressing room get really angry, throw a bottle maybe, you know.
Is it? Yeah. I like
he could get angry, yeah.
It's crazy because I would never say that he would be the one that would do that. So it's interesting to get that insight. That's your time there was under those two managers, especially. If you fast forward to today, you playing against Man United, and we discuss them all the time. And how do you find playing against Man United now?
It's a bit strange, to be fair, but about the team is, you know, a strong team. It's difficult to say what has to be better.
It's not. It's everything. Everything. It's pretty straightforward, to be honest.
This is a massive Man United fan.
Yeah. So.
Like defending, passing, tackling, creating chances, finishing, goalkeeping, just everything, innit?
You can't say that too much because he still loves Man United. I can see he loves Man United. And he's a player.
I love United, but you got to be honest.
I have a lot of friends still there, so you know it's. I think it's great players. Sometimes it doesn't click. Sometimes it clicks. You know, it's difficult to say.
Hmm. It's when we watch it, you look at it and think we seem it's just a bit easy to play against. Sometimes, like you play in a position where. It's normally the opposition make it hard for you to receive the ball in the 8-10 position. But against United, it seems like you probably get more chances to get on the ball against United than other teams at the moment, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think of course, when you play against United, everyone is more motivated. And you know, it's the game of the season. You want to show that you can do well.
You're listening.
But it's true. It's like you said, we played away against them and we had, I wouldn't say it was not our best game and we won the game. But yeah, it's I don't know, they have to fix it. I don't know how to fix it, you know. But for sure, it's like you said, it's like I had a lot of space and I could play quite easily. I quite enjoyed it. It was different than the year before when we played the cup game and we went out. It was a totally different game for me. I was like getting chased down by everyone. We didn't have space. It was difficult, and then the crowd get against you. But this season was like, you know, was quite enjoyable.
It's mad, isn't it? Because last season, it's the same manager. Mm. Similar group of players. This year, there's been more injuries. But those same principles of chasing people down and making them feel uncomfortable at Old Trafford, it seems to have just gone from one extreme to the other. It's crazy.
I found it interesting in the post-match when he was saying he just doesn't have the players. And I know that, yeah, they're injured, but I was wondering whether he meant he doesn't have his players or not. And it's very difficult to tell, you know, especially when there's frustration and doubt. So
no patterns. You know, you see good teams. The way your Fulham team play, you can see the way that you're going to play. They're trying to get the ball into you at some point as well. The way they play out from the back, there's patterns that, if you go and watch a game, you'll see it. Most teams in the league that we're seeing that with, Brighton do it. They have patterns where you see, close your eyes open, right, that's Brighton straight away. But I done the Newcastle versus Spurs game at the weekend. Yeah. Both teams, you know, if you put no names on the shirts, I could tell you that's Newcastle. I'd tell you that is Tottenham, the fullbacks inside, etc. There's certain traits that you go, okay, that's their team. With United, it's not that at the moment. And to not have an identity is crazy to me. No matter how many injuries you have, everyone's training. So they should see the patterns and they should understand the way the team play. Just going on to I looked at some of the stuff with you at Flamengo. Just switch it now, right? Because I know it's hard for him to sit here and talk about United like that. But you see, like, when you went to Flamengo and in the Copa Libertadores, you played in
Oh, yeah, you won it, didn't you?
Yeah, they won it. But the first year...
The first year, we lost.
Yeah, they lost it. You made a mistake in the final, yeah? Which was, like... What's the difference in the way that press and the media and fans react to a big mistake like that compared to in the UK Premier League? Because that's huge over there.
Yeah, it was huge. When it happened, I was having maybe I was the best player of the team, and everyone was saying I had to go to the national team, and in the final was my best game. I was playing my best game in the final. We didn't score. I don't know how. And then extra time goes and there was no options in midfield, and I gave an option. I received the ball and I slipped, and the guy scored the goal. Mm-hmm. Straight after that, it was, you know, straight hell, you know. I arrived back in Brazil. There were people, you know, on the bus trying to destroy the bus, trying to attack you at your house. Wow. We had to stop the bus early, get another car, and you know, the car that we drive there is not a normal car. Is
military or undercover car.
Bulletproof car. What? So... First, when this happened, I arrived at home. I was like, I cannot believe this happened. Say, how is this possible? So I was like...
And they're pulling up the Santos interview as well now. As
they didn't even care about that in this moment. And they were like, cannot believe this happened. It was like a tragedy. And Flamengo is like the biggest club in Brazil. They have like 42 million fans. So in Rio, I couldn't get out of my house.
Wow.
And...
Bigger than Arsenal.
You know, it was...
Magnitudes. Well, they've won a continental trophy, so Joel, calm yourself, all right?
You could be playing for us one day, don't know.
And, you know, it was not a nice time. I used to go to training, and 500 guys in front of the training ground, you know, banging on my door and trying to break the car. And then we played, 4 days after, we play Santos home game, and the director called me, and he said... The manager is sacked. The director called me, say, you want to play? I was like, yeah, I want to play. Say, I'm not going to be home crying. I want to play. I want to make it good. He said, yeah, but it doesn't work like this here. Like,
what?
Like the defense is going to destroy you. They're going to kill you. I said, like, no, I want to play. Say, okay, that's fine. So you're going to play. And at this moment, my agent calling, it's almost January. Say, I think you have to go back. You know? I was like, no, I'm gonna stay. So I started the game. I go on the pitch for the warm up, and straight they go like, I go out and they start to clap to me. And I was like, okay, it's good. The captain goes, Diego Ribas, the played in Atletico Madrid. Mm-hmm. He comes to me, oh, it's good. Okay, the fans are with you. It's strange, but let's go with it. And okay, I go out on the pitch. 5 minutes in the game. I hear everyone in Portuguese, the whole state, 70,000 people. Andreas, fuck off.
No way.
I was like, well, I have to keep the noise out and play.
Wow.
So I finished the game, we draw, I played okay game, got through it, but it was difficult, you know. I had holidays, I went back to my parents', you know, city, stayed there, but it was, bro, so difficult.
Even on holiday, people were talking.
Yeah,
people
did you win them back? Did you get them back on side?
So when you the next season you stayed,
yeah. So I.
When do they start becoming positive and with you again, supporting?
It was like the first month we come back preseason, we play a game preseason. They were killing me, and then they would say I would get out of the team. I have to get out of the team. Then the new manager comes in, feels the pressure, takes me out of the team, start losing games. Then he says, Andreas, I need you. Put me back in the team and. I score in the derby against Fluminense. I do assist 1-1 and score the 2-1. Since then, like, a lot of them just shushes down. And then it goes better and better. And then a new manager come in. It was Dorival, that's the national team coach. Comes in and he says, Andreas, forget everything and just play relaxed. And it took, like, honestly, like 30 kg of my shoulders. I was like light.
So you need a manager sometimes to release pressure for you somehow.
Yeah, and it was, you know, the first game he came in, the first game I scored, playing unbelievable. And then after we played Libertadores, I scored a goal in an away game, and they went and they won it. So it was, you know, for me, it was from heaven to hell and back to heaven. So it was crazy. And nobody, first of all, everyone said, you're going to go to Brazil, you're going to stay there. So I went to Brazil. I played really well. I did, you know, one of the biggest mistakes, I would say, in the final for the club. But after that, we won it again. And I'm back in Europe playing in the Premier League. So
strong character, man.
So it's good. I don't really get faced too quickly.
So played in Brazil, played in England, played in Italy, played in Spain. Where do you enjoy playing the most?
Enjoy with the national team.
nice.
No, the Premier League. The Premier League is the best.
Yeah. Before you go back to pressure, because obviously at United we see a lot of players. Part of it is pressure from media, social media now. How big of an impact is that? We see the likes of, I don't know, Rashford now getting big pressure. Maguire getting massive pressure. How difficult must it be for those guys? And have you spoken to any of them?
I don't think it's going to be as difficult as what he just said.
Oh, that's my point. These guys are under pressure, but this pressure is different. That's even another level. Bulletproof vans and stuff like that.
Yeah. No, it's you know, they're under pressure, and I know Rashi very well. And, you know, Rashi is for this kind of pressure. Of course, it's never nice to feel this pressure, of course, from everyone here, but... But, you know, his mentality is top, you know, and he's an amazing player. So I don't think it helps him, but he's not really care too much about the pressure, I think. And I think Maguire has been a little bit unfair, the pressure on him, you know. He's, for me, when he came in the first game, I don't think you remember against Chelsea. The first game he started, we went 4-0.
He was an amazing man of the match,
unbelievable. And this shows that it's the confidence. If you put confidence in him, he can be this player, you know. And he's shown it a lot of times, but people stay with the image and always say, like, oh, you know, he's doing a mistake, or he will do a mistake, you know. And then this doesn't help him. And I think, you know, the English fans, and, you know, he's like one of your own. He's different. He's a foreign player. Like, I'm in Brazil. I'm a Brazilian player, so they protect a little bit more. So I would say, like, they have to protect him a little bit more, you know.
Go on, what were you going to say?
I can't remember.
No, I agree. I think it's difficult. I think social media now is so much more difficult for the players, because he's never off.
No.
You finish a game, it's always still something coming through in the tweets or in Instagram and stuff like that. It's difficult, man.
Well, you know, but they really, really like it over there, man. We speak to one on a weekly, and they just can't stop talking about
Fulham performances. Jake,
especially Jake.
How are you enjoying it there?
Yeah,
because obviously, when you're in Flamengo, you don't expect. Listen, I'm going to go to Fulham next year. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit of a crazy one. Out of all due respect, and you go there. How have you found your time there? Because I think when I've seen you and people ask me, Pereira, did you say? So, you know what? He hasn't surprised me in his ability. No, I always knew the ability was high-level ability. It was just whether the other side of the game, working hard, closing down, being more aggressive, tactical element of the game. And you've just put that all together now, and you look like a really mature player who knows exactly what it is. But you look like you're enjoying football.
Yeah, I enjoy it a lot, especially, you know, I think a big part of that is the manager, is Marco, you know. He called me and he said, I think you have a point to prove in the Premier League, you know, because... Here you didn't show your quality, and I want you to come and show it here for me and for Fulham. And so he gave me the opportunity. That's why, like you said, I was going to go back to United and maybe see what's going to happen. And when he gave me this opportunity, I was like, okay, I want to play, you know.
What's he saying to you? Is he like, listen, I'll give you the free role in my team, or the loose player maybe, to give you that freedom to go and create? Because the amount of creativity that you show in the team now, you must have been given some freedom.
Yeah, he gives me freedom. He tells me only the defensive part to do, and with the ball, really, he tells me what to do. Like, for example, I have to create. I have to be always in the box. Something I'm working on a lot, with him, because I'm the type of player that I didn't get a lot in the box. I would make the play nicer for my teammates.
And watch the box.
Yeah, watch the box. Maybe it drops out and you know hit from outside, because I don't really like to score tap-ins. That's why, but no, he really gets, you know, this side of me like improving. So for me, really, it's been, you know, very, very important for me.
It's mad, isn't it? Even a top player, place of Brazil, still need a manager to get little things out of you and to improve your game like that. It's really important.
The confidence has to come from playing regular as well. I mean, that's got to be one of the most difficult things for a young player is that I think sometimes it's a desperation. You know you're going to get one chance in 5 weeks. So you don't relax when you play, and that makes you a worse player when you play. You play a little bit rushed, or you feel like, I've got to do something spectacular. I've got to do something. Whereas your natural game, if you knew you're going to play next week, probably, you know, unless you have a bad game, you're probably going to play the week after. Your place is probably secure, so you relax, and I think you play better when you're relaxed.
Yeah, it's totally true. And even if you know you can have a bad game. Everyone has a bad day. So it doesn't matter if you have a bad game and you're not like stressing, like, oh, I'm out of the team, like, oh, I have to do good. And that's like you say, you get stressed. You don't, sometimes the decision making you do wrong. And, you know, when a manager gives you confidence, and it happens as well in other teams, you know, if the manager gives you confidence in a player, you see he shines a lot more.
Mm. I've just asked you about a couple of players. Paulinho, Bayern Munich, were interested in the last window, it didn't happen. How good is that guy?
You know, he's amazing. Like, I play, I know that I can risk a lot of passes, because if something doesn't come off well, he always gets the ball back. You know, he's amazing. He's a monster in training. I have to watch out. He tackles everyone, and you know, it's just, he covers so much ground for us, and it makes for me, you know, my job a lot easier.
Mm. Is he gonna keep hold of him?
I think it's difficult. I think it's very difficult, yeah.
I'd love Mini United shirt. Oh, yes, that's exactly what we need, you know.
You just go through some Brazilian players.
There's got a few in it. Obviously, they've got Muniz.
No, but I'm talking like for you, like the players you've played with in Brazil. Because I think the Brazil one of them teams that everyone always looks at and goes, rah, fantasy. Like when you're growing up, you will remember the Ronaldos, Ronaldinhos, Rivaldos, etc. Like in the teams that you've played in, who are the big players you've walked in and gone, hey, I knew you were good, but whoa. When I was training with you and playing now, a different level.
So it was the first time I went to national team was Neymar. I know he was good, but I played against him. But in training, it's another level. Like it's crazy.
Is he just tricks? Just embarrassing people?
No, not embarrassing. Just you couldn't get close to him. You get the ball from the goalkeeper and you would dribble everyone. And you cannot even grab him, or it's like it's crazy. And people trying to like kick him, and it's impossible.
Really, they're trying in a national. I thought the coach would be like,
yeah. You try to, but then you can see the goal. You can see the second goal. You want to show you want. Yeah,
you got defenders like Marquinhos and that. Yeah. They're not going to allow you just to run through.
Like Casemiro, and they wanted to kill him, and you cannot get close to him. You know, it's. And that's then you get even more embarrassed, because you want to get close to him and you cannot, you know. So, and then after now that I went now, it was Rodrigo and Vinicius Junior. It's amazing players.
Just break them down, Rodrigo, because we get this guy, other people, like we're talking about great wide players in the game. Yeah. And Rodrigo, for me, I sat with Casemiro for coffee a couple of years when he first signed. And that was, I said to him, how good's Vinicius? How good's Rodrigo? He said, Rodrigo, big game, he starts. He scores. Do you know what I mean? Talk me through the differences of those players.
So I would say Rodrigo is more, he can play as a number 10, right wing, left wing, false nine. He played the two games in the national team as a false nine. He's just so smooth, you know, with everything. Like you cannot put pressure on him. He turns right, he turns left. And the difference between him and Vini, I think Vini is, you know, so explosive. He can score the goal in 1 second, you know. Like, he can maybe lose a ball and he looks like he's tired and boom, it's a goal. So he's more like explosive, fast. So the combine that they have both together is just, you know, to play with them, it's you know, it's easy for me, you know. I can do a misplaced pass and
it becomes a good one.
Yeah, still a good one, yeah.
It's crazy because I was having a debate with my friends and I do rate Rodrigo. I think he's
think there's a bot coming here, isn't there?
Yeah, but I do, but
as an Arsenal
fan,
think
Saka's better?
I think Saka. Maybe not this season. I think this season.
Oh, but he's tired.
What do you think?
He's not the better.
No.
Rodrigo?
I think
from Real Madrid, you're talking.
There's only one, right? There's only one that we're talking about here.
No, Rodrigo is good. He won Champions League.
No, we're not talking about what they've won.
Because you lose every argument when that comes up, don't you?
Yeah.
Go on, let him put his case forward. Live on what you're saying to this guy here. He's afraid of him.
It's not what he's won. I just think we've even got Archie on the buttons behind there. I think if you look at Saka, his experience, stats, played at internationally high level. Obviously, he hasn't had the chance to play in the Champions League as much as Rodrigo. He's a killer. I think Rodrigo's just about really becoming a starter now for Real Madrid this season properly.
Yeah. Your opinion is different.
My opinion is different.
It's one way of saying it.
I like Saka a lot. He's an amazing player. Mm-hmm. But for me, Rodrigo, he can play in all the positions, you know, and he's playing for Real Madrid. Real Madrid, I would say, one of the biggest clubs in the world right now. And I don't think Arsenal, you know.
Why'd you have to bring Saka to the argument?
No, because it was a discussion that we were having the other day.
I'm sure that was intellectually high.
I just thought, look, we've got a guy that's played with Rodrigo. I think that he's the best person to ask him. I've met Saka, so it
makes Rodrigo
sense.
Rodrigo is proper, man.
Rodrigo's a proper player.
Okay, we'll see. They're both near enough the same age.
I love Saka. For all the laughs that we have, love Saka.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's a ridiculous player. I think for Arsenal, he's the guy they go to. If they want goals, they go to him.
When it's fair to ask then, when you are playing against Arsenal, for example, are there particular players that you focus on? Obviously, what would like a team talk be to play against Saka? I know that that's not really your role, but
no, of course we speak about when we play against Arsenal. We know that Saka is the main one. Like Rio said, he scores a lot of goals. You cannot give him space, but you have to cover the space around him because, you know, he can push the ball and just run past you. And if you go too close, he's strong as well, so he can turn you. So it's difficult. So you always need a midfielder to cover, like behind the left back or be close at the left back. But when you do this, you lose a guy in midfield. So it's difficult, and that's why. You know, us at we played at a counter attack against them. It worked quite well.
Yeah, we saw. We saw.
No, but you know, they have a fantastic team, and it's difficult if you have like Saka and Martinelli. Oh, and
that's another one right there, isn't it?
So they're amazing players. So it's not only one you have to take care of. You have to take care of both. So
you know Brazil. Just of my last question, I think is that what can Brazil do in the next competition? It's a different Brazil now that we've seen. Transition of players. Vinicius Junior has now become one of the main players. Marquinhos' experience, Casemiro's experience, but a lot of young players. Where can you get to, and who's going to be really important for you?
I think now it's different. It's a different Brazilian national team. We are in the transition. Of course, Ney is still injured. You know, Neymar, and when he comes back, he will help the team a lot. And we have Vini, like you said, you know, won the Champions League with Real Madrid. He's the star, and Rodrigo, and you know, we have players coming through. Endrick.
How good is this guy? What is going on? You must have. So you've seen him close up. What is he? What could this guy be? He's taking iconic pictures already.
It's, I don't know the English word. In Brazil, we have a word. It's iluminado. It's, you know, when a lot of people are about to be born and God say, this is the one. He's like that.
Yeah.
In training, you shoot the crossbar, balls in his feet, boom, goal. Ricochet, ball in his feet, goal. Like, he's amazing. Always in the right place, and he wants to improve. He wants to learn. He's a monster.
Real Madrid just dropped a fat wedge on him at like 15, didn't they? It was like, that's ours.
Bro, he's winning like leagues already. Like, he's 16 years old, like whatever he is. He's like, he's a joke.
Like, Arsenal want to anoint every kid that comes through there as a star boy. That's your star boy.
Hendrick is different. I forgot about him.
Speaking about other star boys, someone like Kobbie Mainoo, who you would have been watching at United. What's your thoughts on him when you obviously that's someone that's come through the academy, you know what that's like. What is it that's making him play so well?
I think he looks like he's very down to earth. You know, he's very calm. He can have a very good game. He can have a normal game, and you see him. He's always the same guy. You know, he doesn't look like he gets faced by anything, by the press or by the fans. He's just always calm. He's doing his job, and I think that if the press and the club and everyone just leave him, don't put too much pressure on him, and let him play, let him get better, he will be amazing. He's already amazing. He will be even more. You know,
it's funny that you say pressure. Is that something that you felt too much before you left, or?
No, not really. Because when I was playing at United, I was playing, of course, not in the position I would love to play, but I was still playing. So it was not pressure. I was just not performing the way I wanted. It was not, I cannot say, you know, have an excuse, it's the pressure, or I was not this or that. I was not maybe ready to play in that moment in that team. And maybe I am now, you know. So that's things that you have to accept. And sometimes the things don't fall right in the right time. And I'm not afraid to say that you know, it was not the right time to play.
Is Champions League football something in your head that you say, you know, I want to get back there one day?
Yeah, for sure. I want to be there and play and, you know, compete in the Champions League among the best. For sure, that's in my head. Yeah.
Hmm.
Don't want to come back to United then. We won't be hearing that theme tune for a bit, I don't think.
And even at Fulham, for example, I know, just ignore him. We just ignore him.
You have to get that, whatever that shite is.
Anyway, even at, for example, Fulham, what are the aspirations? Because you're 12. Like, I'm speaking to Jack, who is our friend, Fulham fan. He, you know, people like him, they want to know, like, are you aspiring for Europe? Because you've performed so well this season. What are you going for?
Yeah, I think we have to be a little bit more consistent. You know, the away games, we're not so consistent as at home games. At home games, we can really do damage, you know, to all the teams. But away games, that has been, you know, our problem. But I think, you know, after Fulham been, they told me, like, seven seasons up and down. You know, now the second season staying in the Premier League.
It's true.
I think this helps to get, you know, build another season and really cement, you know, from the 10th position up to make a chance. You know?
It's true. I don't think they got the depth for Europe just yet. I think they got to add a bit more quality of depth. I think the starting 11's decent, and you play really well at the moment, but I think once you start getting them European games, you've got to have... You should need a bigger squad.
Mm. Absolutely surprised me this season. I mean, even players like Alex Iwobi and, you know, that we know well, like, honestly, you've done really well. Mm. I thought last season I'd said, it's going to be hard for them. Then you did well. Then I thought, this season it's going to be different. It's like you said, you're getting more and more consistent.
Yeah.
Well done.
Marco's quality manager.
Yeah, manager's top.
Yeah.
But I just want to say thanks, man. I appreciate your kindness. Busy. This is a busy time of the season for these guys.
Who's going to win the Champions League?
Real Madrid.
Ooh. Is that Brazilian friends or?
Brazilian friend, no. I think the shirt is heavy, you know. Is their tournament.
We also don't want City to win it, do we, so?
Good shout. We'll take that.
We beat Bayern.
Shut up, Joel.
I mean, anyway, we'll leave it as that. Thank you very much for coming on. Really appreciate it. And guys, please make sure you keep on watching all of our videos on Five. We will be back with more amazing videos. Myself, Joel Bayer, Stephen Howson, Rio Ferdinand, and Mr. Andres Pereira. Thank you very much for coming, man.
Thank you, man.
See you soon. Peace.
Top man, mate. Good to see you,
bro.
Thanks for coming down.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.